Who's got their Bibles here this morning? Aha! There's actually some books, not just cell phones. Good to see. What's that? The book form takes too long to flip around. That's a good point. It's pretty quick with the simpler with the phone. Matter of practice. It's good to get to know the Bible for sure, the physical book itself. So a couple weeks ago, I preached on what? Do you guys remember? Not last Sunday, but the Sunday before. Does my wife even remember? That was last Sunday. Fearing God. Yes. Fearing God, that we all need a healthy fear of God. Last Sunday was Jesus, friend of sinners, right? Well, this morning I want to preach on love. And quite often the concept goes, you know, that fear and love are opposites, right? Zach just said it, 1 John 4:18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear is to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. So does this mean that we're not to fear God if we're perfected in love? To sum it up, what Zach was saying is kind of a, tongue twister there. The fact that there is no fear in love does not rule out the presence of fearing God in our lives, okay? Because fearing the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, as we read a couple weeks ago. But here, John is talking about the fear of the final judgment. God's perfect love for believers casts out fear of wrath and eternal punishment, because we're in his grace when we're in his love through his son Jesus Christ. So I just wanted to make that clear from the get-go, that when we're perfected in love, we're being perfected in the love of Christ, what he did on the cross for us. It doesn't mean that we stop fearing God. No, we're always to have a healthy fear of God, to be in awe of him, to show him due respect. You guys have seen those t-shirts that says, Jesus is my homeboy, probably, in the past, right? And so often when we focus just on the love of God, there is teaching out there that, you know, the love of God casts out this fear of God. But no, we're still to fear God because he is to be feared. He is mighty. He is holy. He is the creator of heavens and earth. He is majestic. But we don't need to live in fear of his wrath and judgment when we're in Jesus Christ. Make sense? Yeah? Okay. Love is a very important part of our Christian walk. Do you guys agree? Awesome. It's prevalent. The theme of love is prevalent throughout the Bible. We read about it lots. Christ teaches about it. Paul teaches about it. Many apostles talk about love and read about God's love. And we read the words that God is love in 1 John chapter 4, right? And so many times the world gets it backwards, making love to be God, but that's not true. God is love, not love is God. John 3:16 talks about God's love, right? What does John 3:16 say? That's right. For God so loved the world, he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. See, God doesn't just tell us that he loves us. He puts his words, his promise into action by sending his son, Jesus Christ, to die for the sins of the world, to be the atoning sacrifice. And that's because God loves all people so much. We read about how we're to love God above all else, right? And we also read of how we should love God our neighbor as ourselves, right? The greatest two commandments that Jesus said, taught about. We're called to pursue love, true love, God's love, not counterfeit version of love that the world offers. We're to walk in the way of love. And that is what we're going to focus on this morning, the way of love. Do you walk in the way of love every day? It's good to stop and think about it. How are you a loving person? What does that look like in your life? Do you take the opportunity to love on other people? Sometimes it's hard for us to behave like Christians should, right? We try to carry our crosses, but when someone crosses us, what happens? We easily lose our cool, right? We behave much the same way as the rest of the world behaves. But the Bible teaches that we are people to exercise love in all of our relationships with one another. Listen to these words, and I have a slide up there as well. If it is possible, so far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. That's from Romans 12:18. And again, be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Ephesians 4:2. And still again, make every effort to live in peace with all men and to be holy. Hebrews 12:14. All these scriptures are saying a similar thing. It may be difficult, and not everybody will be easy to love. But if possible, we are to love and to live in peace and harmony with everyone. Right? I want to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 to 3. If you have your Bibles, you can turn there. We're going to read those together and have a slide for that as well up there. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 to 3. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have a prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. Paul is saying, I want to show you the best way to take care of virtually every situation, and that is the way of love. He's pointing out that love is more important than anything else, pretty much, and five things is brought out here that we as Christians consider very important, that love is even greater. In verses 1, Paul says that love is more important than the gifts we have and the abilities that we have, even spiritual gifts. If I speak in the tongues of men and angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. On the day of Pentecost, we know what happens when the Holy Spirit came upon the disciples. They began to speak in tongues and all these different languages. And many visitors in Jerusalem heard their native tongue and they were glorifying God of his mighty works in their own native tongues. It was a miracle, and people were astounded at what was happening. But here in 1 Corinthians, Paul is saying that even if God gave him the gift of speaking all every human tongue possible, even the heavenly languages of the angels, if he didn't have love, he'd be nothing more than a resounding gong or cymbal. What does that mean? A little context. Back in the first century, there was a big gong or a cymbal at the entrance of most pagan temples, and when people would go into worship, they'd, you know, hit the gong or cymbal to awaken the gods to hear their prayers. And of course, these were non-existent gods, pagan gods. So here Paul is saying that even if we could have all these awesome gifts and abilities of every language, but didn't have love, then his life was as useless as this ridiculous act of hitting a gong to awaken non-existent gods. You see, love is more important than any gift or ability that we can have or receive. Then in verse 2, Paul says that love is more important than what? Prophetic powers, the knowledge, the gift of prophecy, if you can fathom all the mysteries, all knowledge, but have not love, says, I am nothing. If you know it all, everything there is to know about nuclear science, medicine, philosophy, psychology, theology, every kind of ology, if you have not love, you're nothing at all. It's always amazed me when people look around at the world and try to analyze what's wrong with humanity, why we're killing or abusing one another. And those experts always seem to come up with the same answer. We need more education. We need to get everybody educated, and then we won't have these problems anymore. But I don't think education is the answer. I'm not opposed to education. It's a good thing. Don't get me wrong. But listen to what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 8:1. Knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. I don't think we need more knowledge and education nearly as much as we need more love in our lives towards one another. We need a whole lot more love, and the hearts of people need to change, transform, before our world will ever change. You guys agree? Amen. Thirdly, Paul says that love is more important than faith. Can you believe that? Now, he doesn't say that faith is not important. He just says that love is more important than faith. Right? He said, if I had faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. Faith, we are told in the Bible, is so important that it is impossible to please God without faith. And I trust that all of us here this morning have faith in God. But what is your faith? What do you believe for sure this morning? Do you believe that God is the creator of the world? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son? And that he came into our world and lived a sinless life? Do you believe that he died and was buried and on the third day rose again? Do you believe that he is now at the right hand of the Father in heaven and is preparing a place for us and that one day he will come again? Do you believe that? Do you believe that the Holy Spirit has been given to us as our helper, counselor, our guide to empower us? Do you believe that? If you believe all those things, then that is a good thing. It's great. Awesome. But the Bible teaches that if you believe all the right stuff, but do not have love, then you are nothing. Peculiar, huh? Because even faith is of no value unless it's backed up by love. Right? You think of the great commandment that Christ said, love the Lord your God. The priest and the Levite in the story of the Good Samaritan had faith, right? The problem was that they had no love. So they walked by on the other side and just left the man lying there to die. In Galatians 5:6, Paul says, the only thing that counts is faith, and I'm paraphrasing here, is faith expressing itself through love. And James also teaches us this too. Fourthly, love is more important than generosity. Paul says, if I give all I possess to the poor but have not love, I gain nothing. Now notice he didn't say if I give 10%, but all. He says, if I give everything, if I am emptying my checking account, savings, if I gave all my retirement funds, if I sell my house, if I cash in all my insurance policies, and if I sit on the corner with nothing left but what I'm wearing, if I'd given it all to the poor, but I did not have love for them, then I am nothing at all. You see, generosity is not even enough. Are you a generous person? Do you give? I know we all get calls all the time on the phone at home to give, right? To worthy causes, to give to our politicians, to give to people in need. But why do you give? Why do you give? Ask yourself this morning, why do you give? Do you give just because you heard a good sermon on it? Do you give because you feel guilty if you don't? Do you give because you want to impress others around you? Do you give because you're afraid that God will get you if you don't? Do you give because you think you will get more in return? You see, all those are wrong reasons to give. If the only reason that I give is to receive or to benefit myself in some way, then love is absent and giving is empty. The motive for giving should be love. Love for God and love for your neighbor. Then Paul says, love is more important than accomplishments. He says, if I surrender my body to the flames, but I have not love, I gain nothing. And here Paul is talking about martyrdom. What's that? Did I say it right? Yeah, martyrdom. He is talking about being so faithful and so committed to God that you end up dying because of your faith. Sacrifice. How deep is your faith? How deep is your commitment? Are you willing to lay down your life for God if it came to that? But Paul's saying that even if you go to church, every time the church doors are open, if you read your Bible faithfully, if you pray and do all these things that a Christian ought to do, even to die for their faith, if you have no love behind it, then there's nothing. Love is not measured by our actions, rather by our motives. Is your motive love? It's a good question. It's a good thing to analyze your heart. Why do you do these things? What is your motive? Paul is saying that without love, gifts, abilities, spiritual gifts are worthless. Love is more important than knowledge, more important than faith, more important than generosity, more important than self-sacrifice, more important than our abilities, our accomplishments. Love needs to be the motive for all things. Love is supreme because love lasts forever. In fact, if we don't have love, we don't have God. 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 to 8 says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. That's why it's everlasting. That's why it's the most important thing. And it's clear that love is very important. Listen to what Jesus says in John 13, verse 34. A new commandment I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. Now notice that this is a commandment, not a suggestion, but a commandment. And God never commands us to do something that we cannot do, or that he doesn't give us the ability or strength to do, right? We tend to think that love is something that just happens to us, because that's what the world kind of knows love. You fall in love like you fall into a hole, or you fall out of love like falling out of a tree, right? You can't help it. It's just something that happens to you. But we think of love, and we think of love most commonly as what? An emotion. But it's more than that. Yes, it is an emotion, but it's also a choice, a mindset, something that we're conscious of. The Bible teaches that love is something that we can control. And God commands us to love each other, which means I can will myself to love you, and you in turn can will yourself to love me. So it's not a hopeless situation at all. But what kind of love is being talked about here? In Philippians, Paul says that he wants us to behave as Jesus Christ behaved and loved. In other words, to love in the same way that Jesus loves. Philippians 2:4, Jesus says, each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. And that's a big part of it. Love becomes unselfish. You begin to think about other people and their interests, their needs, just like you think about yourself and your interests and needs. You become unselfish. And I pray that this is something, by the grace of God, that we can all apply to our lives as believers. How does this work in your family? Let's suppose one of us from every family here said, I'm going to love to go home and put this into practice. I'm going to love my spouse in this way. To be more kinder, to be more tender, to be more gentle. Even if they're behaving like a jerk that week to you. Begin first in your marriage relationship. Can you see how that would affect the atmosphere in your home? There wouldn't be arguing or bickering as much, less sharp words between each other, because your spouse's interests are just as important as yours. And pretty soon, it'll filter down into your other relationships with your children, with other family members, with your friends, with your fellow brothers and sisters at church, because you love on them. And it can begin in the family and spill over into our church family. Jesus said, by this they shall know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. That's the way the world will find out the message of Jesus Christ is valid, through the love that believers have for one another, through love that believers have for their neighbors. And if we're really going to love each other the way Jesus loved us, then we have to develop in our lives the same kind of compassion for people that Jesus had. What is compassion? What is compassion? A while ago, I saw a video on Facebook of a little girl around the age of 2. You may have seen the same video. She was watching a Disney movie. Anybody seen this video? No? And she was so emotional watching the different scenes, crying, laughing, tears flowing down her face. And you could just tell that the deepest parts of her heart was just being touched by what was happening to these characters in this movie. She was feeling the emotions that they were going through. That's compassion. Knowing what it's like to hurt deep inside when you're not able to tell others you're hurting. What it's like being sick and knowing you're not going to get well and wanting more than anything else than to live. What it's like to be handicapped. What it's like to be a minority. What it's like to be lonely, hurting. What it's like to be dealing with relationship problems that other people are going through around you. What kind of burdens people are carrying, and do we care enough to help them bear those burdens, come alongside them? Love on them. Be compassionate. That's what it means when Jesus talks about loving one another as he loved us, giving of ourselves for others. We need to show people that Jesus Christ is our Lord, not by just our words, but also by our actions, setting an example of unconditional love. I want to tell you guys a story, and I've told this in the past, I believe so, but I'm pretty sure you guys have forgotten it. Have you guys ever heard of a man named Doug Nichols? Probably not. Doug Nichols went to India to be a missionary, but while he was just starting to study the language, he became infected with tuberculosis and had to be put in a sanitarium. And as you can imagine, a sanitarium in India is probably not the cleanest place, most lovely place to be. Yeah, not very sanitary in the sanitarium there. A lot of sick people there. But Doug decided to do the best he could in that situation. So he took a bunch of Christian books and tracts and tried to witness to other patients at this sanitarium. But when he tried to pass out tracts, they were rejected. No one wanted them. He tried to hand out books, but no one would take them. He tried to witness, but he was handicapped because of his inability to communicate in their language, and he felt very discouraged. Here he was, because of his illness, he would be there for a long time. But it seemed like the work he had been sent to do would not be done because no one would listen to him. Because of his tuberculosis, every night about 2 o'clock, he would wake up with chronic coughing that wouldn't quit. Then one night when he awoke, he noticed across the aisle an old man trying to get out of bed. He said the man would roll himself up into a little ball and teeter back and forth, trying to get up to build momentum to get out of bed and stand on his feet. But he just couldn't do it. He was too weak. Finally, after several attempts, the old man laid back down and wept. The next morning, Doug understood why the man was weeping. He was trying to get up out of bed to go to the bathroom and didn't have enough strength to do that. So his bed was a mess. The other patients made fun of the old man. The nurses came to clean up his bed, and they weren't very kind to him either. In fact, one of them even slapped him in the face. Doug said the old man just laid there and cried. Doug said the next night, about 2 o'clock, I started coughing again. I looked across the aisle, and there was the old man trying to get out of bed once again. I really didn't want to get out of bed to do anything, but somehow I managed to get up, and I walked across the aisle and helped the old man stand up. But he was too weak to walk, so Doug said I took him in my arms and carried him like a baby. He was so light that it wasn't a very difficult task. I took him into the bathroom where there was nothing more than a dirt hole in the ground. And I stood behind him and cradled him in my arms. Then I carried him back to his bed and laid him down. As I turned to leave, he reached up and grabbed my face and pulled me close and kissed me in the cheek and said, what I think he was saying was thank you. Doug said the next morning there was patients waiting when I woke up, and they asked if they could read some of the books and tracts that I had brought. Others had questions about the God I worshipped and his only begotten son who came into the world to die for their sins. Doug Nichols said that in the next few weeks he gave out all the literature that he had brought, and many of the doctors and nurses and patients in that sanitarium came to know Jesus Christ. He said, now what did I do? I didn't preach a sermon. I couldn't even communicate in their language. I didn't have a great lesson to teach them. I didn't have wonderful things to offer. All I did was take an old man to the bathroom. And anyone could do that. Powerful story. When love becomes action, when we put others before ourselves. What a great witness it is to those around us of the love of God. Someone once said, people will not care how much you know until they know how much you care. You know, there's a more excellent way, and that's the way of love through Jesus Christ. I want to close off with a reading from Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 to 21. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Let's stand up and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your love this morning. We thank you that there is no other love like your love that comes from you. Thank you that you are eternal. Thank you that from you we can receive the greatest love of all kind, the love of your Son, Jesus Christ, who gave everything, who emptied everything of himself for us, who took sin upon himself. He knew no sin, yet he became sin and carried it to the cross, where he sacrificed, suffered, paid the price of all sin by his life. There is no greater love. And Lord, we thank you for your mercy, your compassion this morning, that we can walk in your love. Lord, help us to be examples of your love to those around us. Help us to love others as you loved us and love us. Give us compassion. Help us to see our neighbors through your eyes, to see each other through your eyes, to love one another as you love us. Help us to set aside our own needs and interests and to consider others better than ourselves. And in doing so, we can be powerful witnesses of you. Lord, help us to understand the needs of others. And give us the power and strength and ability to meet those needs in your name, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Help us to forgive one another as you forgive us. And help us to be like Doug Nichols, Lord. To do simple acts of love to those around us. In your name, Jesus, so that you may be glorified. Hallelujah. Glory to you. Glory to you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you for your presence here this morning. Thank you for your word this morning. Thank you for every one of us here this morning. And we bless each other in your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let's close off with a song together. And if there's anybody who would like prayer this morning, the altar is open. And let's worship our Lord and Savior together.
I just had it in my heart that sometimes some of us have gone through a lot of trauma, or you may have never experienced or felt love in your life. And It says in the Bible that we love because he first loved us. So if you don't know what love feels like, or if you don't know where to start, just to look to God and look to the Bible and look to the Word of God, because that's how you can know what real love is.
When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss, and for contempt on all my pride. Should boast save in the death of Christ my God. All the vain things that charm me most, I sacrifice them to his blood.
Let's do that. The blood will never lose its power.
The blood that Jesus shed for me, way back on Calvary, oh, the blood that gives me strength from day to day.
Mountain,
and it falls to the lowest.
Amen. God bless you guys. Thanks for coming this Sunday, and have a wonderful week. Remember to walk in the way of love. Amen. And Wednesday, 7 p.m., prayer meeting, Taria and Blair's. Come early, 6 o'clock, for dinner.